Well, good morning. I hope you guys have enjoyed graduation Sunday so far. I'm Pastor Mike. I'm so excited to see you two graduate, Josiah and Levi. And I'm so excited to see what God does in and through your lives in the future. I know at times you couldn't wait for this moment, and other times you're like, wait, it's here? What am I supposed to do now? Kind of moment. And I'm pretty sure that's going to be true for the rest of your lives as the different seasons and experiences that come your way. But as I was thinking about what would be a good graduation message to share with you and our church family, what came to my heart and mind was Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus tells his followers that they are the light of the world, that they are a beacon of Jesus to this world. There's this old church that I pass every time I come downtown. In fact, the name on the sign is Beacon Church. Now, I know nothing of Beacon Church. I know nothing of the people. I know nothing of its history. I know nothing of Beacon Church, except for the building that I see as I pass by. But I can tell you this, from the outside, the building isn't used anymore. The building is no longer a place of worship. It's no longer a place of gathering for a community, a fellowship of believers. There is no more outreach or ministry that takes place in this building for the community, locally or globally. The beacon that this church was is no more. And in a very real sense, the light is gone. And it makes me wonder why. How did this light, how did this beacon of a church become extinguished? Like, what happened? And every time I pass this building, it makes me sad. I'm reminded of the congregation that used to be there. And then I pray that we, here at First Alliance, that we always remain. That we always abide being light. That we focus on being a beacon to this world. And that's what I want to talk about today from Matthew chapter 5. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful to be here. God, thank you for being here in our presence. God, we just give you this message and the words. God, once again, may we know you more. May we be transformed into your likeness. And help us to go from here being light. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So let me set the stage here and give you some context and background. In Matthew chapter 4, the public ministry of Jesus has just begun. He's going around teaching and preaching people. He's also called two of his disciples, two brothers, Peter and Andrew, to follow him. And then he calls two other brothers, James and John, to follow him. Then in verse 23, it tells us that Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in synagogues and announcing the good news about God's kingdom. And he healed a lot of people of every kind of disease. In fact, the text tells us that he healed everyone that was brought to him. He healed everyone that was brought to him. So obviously, this sort of display of power and authority and compassion, it drew a crowd, right? Jesus was the talk of the town, and everyone wanted to see him. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1 here. It says, one day as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. So Jesus would travel around, and enormous crowds would follow him. And remember, I just said, like, the disciples are with Jesus. But they, at this point, they're new to Jesus. They're new to the crowds. They're new to the public eye. And if the crowd loved you like it did Jesus, well, it'd be very tempting to think yourself to feel important, to feel proud, or to be possessive of Jesus and the things that fame brings, like money and power. That is a real temptation for the disciples. So Jesus calls them together and they sit down on the mountainside, and Jesus begins to teach and preach what is known as the Sermon on the Mount to the disciples. The disciples are the original audience that Jesus is speaking to, though obviously the crowds and the people there were listening in as well. You're going to see here that before Jesus tells his disciples to shine in the world, before he tells them that they're going to shine in the public, to shine before others, before becoming beacons of light, he tells them that the only way that they're going to reflect light is by being transformed by the presence of God in their lives. In other words, first, be with Jesus. Spend time in his presence. Get to know him. Become like him. Then, after you do that, second, you reflect him to others. That's when you become a beacon. Look at verse 3. It says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. So these first four Beatitudes help us to consider what our posture should be to God, answering the question, how should we respond to the God of the universe if we are to shine light? So if we are going to reflect him, if we are going to be a beacon to this world transformed by the presence of Jesus in our lives, the first thing that we see here on this list is that we need to respond to God with spiritual humility. Spiritual humility. We come across this text that says, blessed are those who are poor. Poor in the spirit. What Jesus is saying here is that we need spiritual humility. That phrase, poor in the spirit, means that we recognize our own spiritual need and our inability to save ourselves. Meaning, you can't. This is the opposite of pride and self-sufficiency, which we've seen in the hearts and behaviors of the religious leaders as we've walked through the book of John and as we're walking through the book of Acts. And I think Jesus starts here because he wanted those disciples to know, and he wants us to know, that there's no way that you can enter into the kingdom of God through your own strength, through your own effort, through your own achievement, even your own morality. It's only through Jesus. This poor in spirit means that we are 100%, absolutely, completely dependent upon God for salvation and life now and forever. We don't shine light by trying harder. We don't shine light by doing more. We shine light by being close to Jesus, being dependent upon him, reflecting him. So, for the two of you, and for all of us, I want to encourage you not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought. Your own strength, your own achievement, your own goodness, it doesn't mean too much to God. He is interested in your heart, and he is interested in your presence with him. So a reflective question for you to consider and for all of us is this: how are you living dependent on Jesus every day? How are you living dependent on Jesus every day? Next, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. A way we respond to God is by mourning, and mourning is much deeper than this ordinary sadness that we might think of. This means that we grieve over sin, that we grieve over the effects of sin, the brokenness and fallen condition of this world. Jesus wants us to know that he doesn't want us to grow cold toward or ignore sin and its effect on our lives or the sins of others, or even the sins of this world. When we honestly face sin and its effect, in the text here, it tells us that Jesus will comfort us. And this is important for all of us because repentance and compassion, it grows out of a heart that truly understands and feels the weight of sin and its consequence. And I pray that you too never grow cold or callous toward your sin or the sin of others around you. May you be so close to Jesus that the mere thought of doing anything that displeases him or doesn't bring him honor wouldn't be a thought or a consideration. And when you do sin, which you will, which we all will, that you run to him and you make it right and you repent. So let me ask you this. What is your heart towards sin? What is your heart towards the sin of others? Next, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." Now, that's not a word you hear too much anymore. So what exactly does that mean? Meek has this idea of controlled strength submitted to God. Controlled strength submitted to God. Meek do not seek out and demand power. They don't demand revenge. They don't demand recognition. It's not about that. It's not about you. The meek, they trust God and they lean into God. Instead of fighting back, instead of snapping back, instead of demanding what they want, the meek allow God to do what God is going to do. It's in his hands, not theirs, not yours. That's tough, right? But being transformed by being in the presence of Jesus, transformation by definition means letting go. It means that things must die. It means that things must fade away in order to become something else. And that something else that we are talking about right now is Jesus. We want this world to see Jesus, not ourselves. Lastly, in this section, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." What this means is that Jesus wants his disciples to have this deep desire, a passion, a yearning for holiness and justice and right relationship with God. This is not talking about casual commitment. Okay, this is not a half-hearted desire that, hey, you know what, I'll spend time with Jesus after I finish this Netflix show. I'll spend time with Jesus after I figure out my life or after I get comfortable and secure. That's not this. We're talking about a desperate longing for God, his will, and being right with him. Spiritual growth, transformation begins with a genuine desire for him, not ourselves. This is not about our comfort. This is not about our success. It's not about the approval of others. According to Jesus, being transformed by his presence so that we can shine light into the world, it begins with humility. Less of us, more of him. It's not about promoting ourselves. It's promoting him. Our posture and our response to God must be one of desperation for him. And as we begin to line our hearts with his, we're going to begin to see other people the way that he sees people. And now as we go through this next list of the Beatitudes here, you're going to see what our focus and our response and posture should be towards others. Look at verse 7. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. So as I said, now we see a few Beatitudes that focus on our response and our posture towards other people. Still stemming from transformation that Jesus does in and through us as we spend time in his presence and as we say yes to him. The first one says, "Blessed are the merciful." Merciful people forgive and they show compassion. And they take care of others because they know that is the same treatment that they have received from God. They forgive because they've been forgiven. They show compassion because they have shown compassion. They take care of others because God has taken care of them. They have the same heart the Father does towards others. So when it comes to others, what is your response? What is your heart to others? What do your hands and feet do for others? Do you ignore? Do you walk on by? Or do you show mercy? And do you show compassion, forgiving others? Next it says, blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Jesus cares about our motives. He cares about our thoughts, and he cares about our integrity. And that's what pure in heart speaks to. It's our inward ability, our inward security, sorry, and our devotion, not just our religious behavior. When we try to please others with our worship and our action, God sees that. He knows when we try to make it about not him. He knows when we make it about ourselves and we make it about our agendas. Our motives and thoughts matter just as our actions do. So in order to worship God the way that he intended, the way he wants, and the way that he deserves, our hearts cannot be divided. He has to have our whole heart. So a couple of reflection questions for everyone. Are you the same person privately as you are publicly? Then a second question might be this: what distracts and influences pull you away from spending time in the presence of Jesus? Blessed are the peacemakers. This is a tough one. Peacemakers are those who actively pursue reconciliation with people and God. Actively pursue. They do not avoid conflict. They do not avoid the mess, but they work hard to restore broken relationships. Why? Because this reflects the heart of the Father. Okay, it reflects the character of God himself, who wants all people, who he wanted all sinners to be reconciled to him through Jesus. And so he paid the ultimate sacrifice in order to fix the mess, to fix the brokenness, and he sent Jesus. Don't you see that God is the ultimate example of being a peacekeeper? So question time again. Do you add peace to your relationships, or do you add tension? As God sent Jesus to bring peace to this world, are you still holding on to that grudge? Why have you still not forgiven so-and-so for doing whatever? The only way to truly love others the way God wants us to is having a heart, an attitude, and mind of Jesus. Because we're not going to do this naturally in ourselves. But as Jesus transforms us from the inside out, we begin to see people the way he does, with love and mercy and compassion and forgiveness. So as we live out and as we reflect Jesus to this world, right, they see him, not us. Look at verse 10. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So what is our posture and what is our response to those who oppose us? Because God says, blessed are those who are persecuted. As we say yes to Jesus at every turn, as we say yes to Jesus at every decision, it may lead to rejection, and it may lead to suffering, and it may lead to persecution. Like, you've seen that at work as we've been going through Paul's first missionary journey. And maybe you've already faced criticism because of your beliefs and your values. I think what sometimes we fail to realize, though, is that goodness can come from persecution. In persecution, it takes our eyes off of earthly prizes. In persecution, it can strip away our superficial beliefs. In persecution, it will strengthen the faith of those who endure. And in persecution, you are going to strengthen the faith of others to stand strong for their faiths and their beliefs. Jesus can transform us into his likeness in persecution. Now, is it fun? No. But in persecution and hostility, he can certainly use it. So I want to encourage you to be faithful, to be courageous. Do not remain silent in your faith because of fear. Remain faithful to Jesus, even if and when following Jesus is costly. The last blessed that comes from the presence of God to those who oppose you with mockery, lies, and all sorts of evil things. People will oppose you because they're going to oppose the gospel. So do not be discouraged. Your reward is with God. Your reward is not in the things of this world. You're never going to be a failure when you say yes to Jesus. So do not seek the approval of others. Seek God's approval. His approval is the only one that matters. The outcomes, the results of what you do, it's not the goal. Obedience and faithfulness to God is. So endure and remain and abide. Be in his presence. When we pursue Jesus, when we say yes to Jesus, transformation will occur as Jesus will begin to chip away all those parts of us that are not from him, that are from our sin, that are from our sinful natures. And as we change from being in his presence, that's when we're going to reflect him. That's when Jesus calls us light of the world. Look at verse 13. It says, "You are salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." You are salt. You are light. Did you notice that those statements are declarations? They're not suggestions. That's who you are. You are salt. You are light. You are going to be different in this world because you reflect Jesus. And your life, it should be visible for all to see, like a city on a hill, which is unavoidable. Right? You can't miss it. When people see you, they're going to see Jesus. So as you guys go to school or work, as you interact with people, as you stand in line at Chick-fil-A, as you drive in your car, you need to be intentional and recognize the fact that you are a reflection of Jesus. And it's not a matter of drawing attention to yourself. Hey, look at me, look at me. No. You are going to point others to Jesus because you are light. So don't be fearful. Do not compromise. Do not be apathetic. Do not cover up your light. Do not dim or dull your light. The world doesn't need more darkness. It doesn't need you to be the same. When I look at this world, and maybe you do too, but I see this world as being kind of lost and broken and dark. It could surely use some more Jesus. This world needs light. It needs you to be a beacon of Jesus. So as you two graduate and move on to the next, in order to be the biggest and brightest light possible, it all starts with your connection with Jesus. Be with Jesus. Allow him to transform you in his presence. Then you will reflect him. Then you will be light to this world. And I pray that no matter what you step into next, guys, that you're going to be a beacon and shine Jesus. And if those plans change, you shine Jesus. And if everything you want and plan, it doesn't work out, I pray you shine Jesus. Because here's the deal. We can only shine Jesus by reflecting him. And we can only reflect him by being in his presence and being close to him, by being connected to him. So graduates, may you be a beacon of light. May you be a beacon of Jesus to this world every single day.